Can I just, turning back a bit, in a sense, it's the notion of how all of this is much more accessible to the general public than people might be thinking, hearing us talk about some very professional activities and academia. But one of the good things, really, is that actually all of this, these resources, are available to anybody interested in history in any shape or form. You mentioned that the Winter Conference drew in large numbers of people looking at the fiction and the interface between fiction and factual history, in a sense. But so could you say a bit more about the sort of sheer, the variety of ways in which people could have access to some of the resources that you've got here?
We're publicly funded to support research and facilitate research, which means opening up access to research. We're not the BBC, or the TV and radio media. We're not in the business of entertaining people through discovery of history. We're much more in the business, as the Historical Association is, of sharing expert knowledge and good practice in our subject with anybody who is interested. We're not for profit, and we're funded to make those resources and that expertise available. And the first most usual way in which we do that is to encourage people to attend our events. So all our seminars are open to anybody. Anybody can come to an IHR seminar, and obviously conferences, there are registration fees and that kind of thing, but there's no bar on access. And indeed, we go out of our way to encourage postgraduate and early career attendance through the various bursaries that we offer, much like the Royal Historical Society offers similar sorts of support. The second way in which people can get involved and see what we do is by using our internet resources. We have a very simple URL, www.history.ac.uk. And many of the things that I've been talking to you about this afternoon are available there, and it's a very easy site to navigate. And then there are things that we do which people, depending on their interest in history, may want to get more involved in. We mentioned earlier the Victoria County History, which is the gateway to doing local, parish, regional and county history in England. Mm. We publish the end product of that research. But we can only do that on the shoulders of the labours of many, many volunteer researchers up and down the country. Mm. And so if you're interested in the history of your local parish, your town, the religious institutions of your locality, the Victoria County History needs to hear from you, because it's the local researcher who can bring the enthusiasm and knowledge that sort of project requires.
Tell us a bit about, there is the Friends of the Institute as well, isn't it? Which is really quite a way in which people could gain access but also help the work of the Institute insofar as wherever they are and whatever they're in.
Yes, we set up, we have three Friends networks now. We have a UK Friends network, an American Friends, and we've just started a Canadian Friends on the very reasonable grounds that Canadians didn't want to join the American Friends in North America. The UK Friends Network is our way of allowing people to use our library resources. Because we're part of a university, the usual membership of the library is via being a registered student or staff of the university. So we set up Friends, which for a small annual membership fee allows people to take part in all of the activities of the IHR, but specifically to have access to the library. And the Friends also operates as one of our fundraising tools. So the Friends of the IHR put on film evenings, book sales, visits to historic places, a programme of events for people interested in history to take part in. So that sense, we have membership unlimited for all annual fee. And if you also want to show your friendship in other ways by donating towards our activities, then that's a very good medium for doing that as well.
That's very, very pleasing to hear, because I'm sure people listening to this podcast, many people might not necessarily have appreciated that this was a resource that was available for them, rather than just for universities.
Well, I think if you bundle words together like institute and research, it all suddenly begins to feel quite an exclusive institution. But no, we're in the business of opening up what we do, which we think is very important and specialist in its content, yeah, to as many people as possible.
And in fact, that extends, I think, I hope, in a sense, to schools. By that I mean sixth forms, really, that there have been a number of conferences held here. I think there's one planned for this coming summer, isn't there, on with the Royal Historical and the HA and others are involved, mm-hmm, in a big one on schools and transition between, mm-hmm, schools and university, where we're trying to help a lot more, both teachers and students and people in higher education, realise the kind of changes that we're all going through in terms of changing the curriculum. That's been something that's been going on for some time now, hasn't it, really? The Institute has welcomed younger scholars as well as older scholars.
Yes, I think we have our membership, if you analysed it, is made up largely of professional scholars, i.e. people who are paid by universities to do research and teaching, but also a very large element of people who are not affiliated to any particular university, but just like history, and that love of history starts fairly, yeah, early on. And the other thing that you will know, but perhaps members of the HA don't know, is that along with the HA and with the Royal Historical Society and various other organisations, we look after the interests of history across the UK. And along with your good selves, that's where we're often able to bring pressure to bear on governments of the day, and some of the larger, you know, corporate bodies involved in teaching at university and secondary school level, because it's very important that those who actually research in history are able to comment on the way in which history is taught. And I think between ourselves and the HA and the Royal Historical Society, we've been particularly affected the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes, I speak like you, as somebody been involved also with the stakeholders group with the National Archives, where I was looking at some of the problems and challenges that the archive world has been facing in recent time, in these times of austerity and cuts.